What do you mean it's already working?
You knew it. You're recording. I already saw you. You're not going to trick me. You tried to, and I saw it.
I tried to. We are here with Cranking It Up to 11, the 11th episode music podcast on the Multimedia Men Network, where we have tons of shows. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio to the Multimedia Men, or look up Boomstick Comics, and you will see tons of shows, including this music show, The Unbalanced Notes. You'll see the horror show, My Bloody Podcast. You'll see the wrestling show, Wrestling Is Everything, and you'll see Mediocrity, our nerdy show. I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest, and I'm here with the big-headed scientist birthday boy of them all, Jacob Douglas.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. Big-headed scientist?
Yes.
Like a political scientist?
Mad scientist.
Oh, I could be a mad scientist.
Yes.
Do you see that person in Lakewood that got in trouble for hanging the Frankenstein from their tree?
I did not.
Social justice warriors, dude.
Dude, weird.
Dude, I don't know why they're hanging him, though. That's the one thing.
Wait, they hung him, like, from a noose?
Yeah, he's hanging from a noose.
Oh, what's bad about that?
People are offended that it's something hanging.
Oh.
They think it's, like, it's a racial thing. And then people are arguing that, wouldn't Frankenstein, like, remember he falls on the iceberg and just fucking floats away?
Yeah.
They never hang him.
Right.
But I think the body that the guy, that they, remember the... You know, Dr. Frankenstein, the body guy.
Correct.
That guy was hung.
Yes, doctor.
Right.
Not the monster.
No, the monster was hung, I think, originally. That's how he got the body, remember?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
people get upset about a lot of things these
days. I'm surprised you didn't hear or read about that. I guess you're out of... It's good to not fucking...
Be on social media. I don't see any of the political bullshit.
Well, I read that, like, Central Track. Do you know that website?
Yes.
It's horrible.
It is awful.
I read it for the comedic value. That, I saw it on there, so that's why.
Well, there you go.
It's funny.
We have an excellent show today. We are going... like I said, it's our 11th episode.
Dude,
we cranked it up to 11.
Fucking going to 11, dude.
We are talking about...
Spinal Tip.
We're not talking about Spinal Tap, actually. This is Spinal Tap. We are talking about one of the most, I don't know. Do you think they're the most popular band? Do you think they're the best band?
I think they're the perfect band.
The perfect band.
Yeah.
For the right time.
Everything about them was perfect.
The Beatles. We're going to talk about the Beatles today, and it's going to be joyous and fun. We have a one-hit wonder, which is going to be so terrible, our heads might explode and blood might come out of our ear pussies. But
ear pussy. Yeah. Back to the Aqua. Remember the one-hit wonder? The guy had the fucking...
over his ear?
Maybe that was a merkin for the ear.
That was a merkin for the ear.
For his ear pussy. That's good, dude. I've never heard that one. Sean had never heard the term fuckhead before.
Really?
Yeah, I found it weird. Or I guess maybe she said she would never say that. Either way, I looked at her. I said, you're lying. Fucking wouldn't say fuckhead. Who wouldn't say fuckhead?
I don't know.
You say it. Fuckhead. Say it right now.
Fuckhead.
Yeah. Feel good, right?
Yes, it does. I like it.
Like those fuckheads in Lit. Right?
Oh, God. We'll get to that soon enough.
That's the one-hit wonder, though.
It is the one-hit wonder, and you can guess what song it is, because they only had really one song.
But please tell me why?
But first, before we get in our news and all that shit, Jacob, of course, celebrated his birthday. He's 21, finally.
God, thank goodness.
He's legal. He didn't fuck the ostrich, allegedly.
Sometimes the ostrich fucks you.
Yes, in Russia. In Mother Russia.
I have a penguin on my... Or,
that's not a penguin, that's a flamingo.
It? Whatever. Same fucking thing.
Is it?
I'm having a hard time.
You are having a hard time, but Jacob went to eat for his birthday last night, and something crazy weird happened that he was not prepared for. He's going to tell us about it. You were at your birthday. Where were you at?
I went to Dalat. I love Dalat.
Dalat. Like the Vietnamese
place. Vietnamese, yeah.
They have good Dorito things.
I still never had that.
This place is open till like 4 or 5 in the morning. Some of the best Vietnamese food in Dallas, Texas. He was there eating, and were you under the influence of anything?
Just you know, the sweet leaf.
The usuals.
Yeah, the use, you know, the my use. Fucking, my go-to.
And then your night was interrupted by what?
Well, no, I walked in, like, as soon as I walked in the door, I could just hear that motherfucking Scott Stapp just hurl. And I thought it was someone's ringtone, right? I thought it was like, oh, okay, maybe it's just going to happen. And then I sat down and I was like, God damn, they're playing this on the overhead music, right? So then I heard Creed, Lit, Three Doors Down, Nickelback, and then I can't even remember the other one.
Was it a certain, like, shitty music night at the lot?
It's got to be ironic. Like, it has to just be... And they're not trying to cater, I guess, maybe to, like, music fans.
What time was this at?
Oh, this was, like, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
Were they trying to clear people out?
No, they were open until 4. Like, yeah, they were exactly. open until 4 in the morning. I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. I thought it was funny. I found the humor in it.
Like, but, what's next? Well, oh, it got worse.
Well, I'm sitting there eating pad thai, right? And then the fucking, you know, Creed song is going. And I'm
what Creed song was it?
The fucking... They're all, I don't know. Does it matter?
I just was hoping you would know the song so I could say something like, oh, I know you like
it's not the, it's not that, I know it's not the should have been dead on a Sunday morning song, right? That fuck should have been dead on. But it was, I don't know, man. It was just bad. But then I'm like eating and then I'm like, wait a minute. Why is my leg like in tempo with this song? Like the power of the song overtook me, and it was kind of slightly embarrassing because I had to look around. Like, does anyone see me over here rocking out, eating my fucking spring rolls, listening to fucking Blink 182? I think that was the other thing.
Which Blink 182 song was
that
it?
That fucking God. What's the one? Like the... I can't think of the... I can hear the fucking melody. I mean, so that whiny vocal crap, dude. Like, that's why bands like that always confuse me. Like, when we talk about Lit later.
Yeah.
How do you sing that song when you're like 40 or 50? Like, you're going to go up there and whine into the microphone like that? Please tell me. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Those songs, I think, were...
Oh, it's that. What's my age again?
Yeah.
What's my age again? What's my age again?
Fucking I feel like those songs were super popular when the first American Pie in 1998 or 1999 came out.
Yeah, that was
they were all in there.
Yeah. That go wear a fucking green polo shirt with stripes on it and
yes. You know,
buy some fucking Birkenstocks or some shit. Like.
Right. The cargo shorts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Blink 182 to me is the same thing as like Justin Bieber. Like, they enabled a generation of fuckheads to be idiots.
Yeah.
Like, who? How many 30-year-old fans do you think Blink 182 had in their heyday?
Maybe 4?
How many 12-year-old fans do you think they had?
400,000?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, come on.
There you go.
They made $1 million.
The guy made $1 million.
That one guy, but one of the dudes from Blink 182 is like 30. $1 million in debt, I just saw, because he's all into like aliens and shit. And
well, how does one get $30 million in debt? Because most normal people, you would say, like, okay, once you're
ask MC Hammer, we need to get MC Hammer on the show.
People are just giving him money and he spends it, doesn't pay it back.
It's athletes, man. Like, they elevate their lifestyle like instantly and then they have to, you know,
well, most
sustain
athletes
it.
Are 19 to 25 and have no idea what to do with money.
Well, artists, man, the same thing though, right? Like, Slash was like, I think, 22 when Appetite for Destruction came out,
right? But he's like not fucking around.
No, he's not an idiot.
He's Jewish. You know, he handles money well.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't think he's Jewish.
Slash is Jewish.
No, he's not Jewish.
He's not?
No.
I'm pretty sure.
Because of the hair? You think he's Jewish?
We're going to look this up real quick.
You don't need. I'm telling you, right? That's a crazy thing to say. Well, not crazy, but you're just wrong.
Am I wrong?
You're totally wrong.
I haven't been wrong today yet.
Hey,
Saul Hudson.
Yeah, he ain't Jewish, though.
Are you sure?
I'm very, very... I would say I'm 98% sure. Like, you think the earth is flat, you know, you're like very certain of it, and I keep telling you that it isn't.
Hey, you might be right.
I know I'm right.
I don't know. I can't tell anything. I'm looking.
You're wasting your time. But
I
anyway,
don't know. It doesn't say anything.
Yeah, that man, the fucking mall punk, dude. Like, just that term, right? Like, NoFX and all that stuff. Do you like that kind of music?
What?
Did you like what they called punk in the 90s?
Well, that wasn't real punk, though.
Well, I know, but that's what they said, like rancid. I don't relate to
Slash
any of that
is
stuff.
Half Jewish.
God.
And half black. Half black, half Jewish.
Really? Well, yep. I stand corrected.
There you go.
I'm not above it. I'm wrong a lot. I've almost had an entire lifetime of being incorrect.
You're always right, though.
Sometimes I am. I actually, right. More often than not, I seem to be.
So they played all this music, and were you sad to leave finally?
No.
Did you stay the whole time till 4 to listen to what else they
played? I got in my car, and I fucking plugged my phone in, and I just I typed in, like, Three Doors Down, Best Of, and I just listened to it the rest of the way home, like that Superman song.
Oh, my God.
I love that song. I forgot how good it was until I heard it.
There you go.
I'm kidding.
So,
I hate that band.
So being October and just a couple weeks away from Halloween, what do you suggest to our listeners that they should, if they're looking for a costume idea, what musician would be the best costume to go as?
Man, I still think that like the best tandem, group Halloween costume is if someone went as Ghost.
That would be awesome. Nobody would know who they were, though, unless you went to the certain parties.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. Like, I think people would know. A lot of people seem to recognize Papa, you know, the Papa Emeritus character.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, that's like an instantly iconic thing.
Well,
like,
Gwar, that people would maybe recognize that.
You'd get hardly anybody would know who that is.
What about Angus Young?
Oh, is it? Yeah, that'd be a good one. Yeah, fuck yeah. That'd be a killer one.
That'd be pretty cool.
Angus, yeah. Or Lemmy is always a good one. Are you asking like a rock and roll costume?
Any of them.
Oh, any costume.
Any costume, musician wise.
Hmm.
Or music wise, like the Bumblebee from that fucking album.
I always thought it'd be really cool if, you know, four people went as like the classic, like Universal Studios monsters, right? Oh. You went all out though. Like you really
like,
looked
like. Got like Hollywood makeup?
Yeah, like you looked like Lon Chaney fucking as the Wolfman, you know? Like you really, really looked good, you know, doing them. Yeah. Right? That would be a good one. I don't do Halloween, really.
No.
I mean, I don't know. I like the idea of it. I never do costume, though. Why? What would you be? Hitler? you were like Hitler and I would be Mussolini.
There's a movie about them, too, I think.
Yeah, it's called Bill and Ted. That's the new one, dude.
Oh, that's good.
That's bad.
Fantastic.
Well, I guess is the ACLU gonna? Are they listening to this?
Maybe.
I hope they are.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to some news.
Got into the danger zone right there, huh?
Yeah. Let's start off with some unfortunate news. All That Remains guitarist Ollie Herbert dead at 44. He co-founded the Massachusetts metal band and appeared on all of their records.
Do you know that band?
Not a whole lot, but what do you think?
Dude, that guy was a really... That's like a very technically proficient band. Those guys are good. 41's yeah. Crazy. I saw that...
44.
Or 44. Still, that's not much.
It's supposedly he was a great guitarist.
Yeah, he was really good.
The band formed in 1998, so they've been around 20 years. They're actually... They had a new LP coming out with a group, Victim of the New Disease, which is due out on November 9th.
Did it say how he died?
I'm looking that up right now, and it doesn't look like no further details, just that he is dead.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's a young, young dude. But yeah, if you, like Jacob said, they're technically proficient, check out All That Remains if you're into the metal, right?
Metal.
Moving on to some really weird news. Which just blows my fucking mind, and it may be the worst news of the podcast. Mariah Carey teams with Skrillex and Ty Dolla $ign on a new song called The Distance. And if you put Mariah Carey and Skrillex and somebody I've never heard of, Ty Dolla $ign, in the same sentence, it's guaranteed to be awful and terrible.
I don't even... We're about to dedicate an hour to making fun of this.
I don't know who Ty Dolla $ign is. I've heard of
Skrillex. Mumble rapper, I think.
So,
dude, Mariah Carey's like if Mariah Carey didn't make music and just did the Meltdowns,
yeah,
like that would be awesome. You know, like she should embrace that, like the public freakouts and the fucking like she's all drunk and like she seems like she's always like horned up too, right? Like, oh, like fuck the way she talks. You know what I mean? Like she's kind of, I don't know, man.
She's gross, Mariah Carey.
Yeah, she is gross.
It's called The Distance, and it's on a new album she has coming out called Caution, which is out November 16th.
Didn't she get into a lip-syncing thing? Like,
I don't know. I don't follow her.
Yeah. Well, it's like on New Year's or something, like when they were dropping the ball or something, she went out there and was miming, you know?
I'm out, but...
Skrillex, dude. So, man, so when Guns N' Roses got back together and they toured, they played, you know, two Texas shows. They played Houston and Dallas.
Right.
In Dallas, the Cult was the opener.
Yeah.
Guess who was the opener in Houston?
Skrillex?
Skrillex, dude.
Why do they think that Skrillex...
Because he's from there. Yeah. They thought that it would be like, oh, people from Houston would like when they played at in Tennessee, like their Nashville show, Guns N' Roses, they had Chris Stapleton open for them.
Just so people, I don't get it.
Dude, that guy sucks. Like, Skrillex, it's like Korn, but with a laptop.
Yes.
It's all like robots, man.
Why would anybody going to a Guns N' Roses show want to see Skrillex?
Dude, Axel probably thinks he's great.
Axel's crazy.
He is crazy. He wrote there's even a song called You're Crazy.
Ty Dolla Sign, have no idea.
It's in the name. That's all you need to know.
So.
How's dollar spelled?
Ty Dolla Sign, T-Y, then D-O-L-L-A,
okay,
S-I-G-N.
We should check this out. Wonder if we could get him on the show.
Hey,
Mariah, we got some Quaaludes.
Skrillex, we've been saving them forever.
Hey, Skrillex, we got some fucking hair swoop gel and some laptops for you to mash on.
And Ty Dolla kind of looks like Stevie Wonder mixed with
Ooh-wheezy.
With
his name? Ronnie Millsap.
No, Parliament. George Clinton.
Dude, don't be railing on George, man. No.
That's what he looked like.
George Clinton would punch you right now if he heard you just compare him to...
I'm going to show you a picture.
Ty Dolla Sign.
Tell me if that didn't describe it.
Not at all.
That's described.
What? Looks like Snoop with blonde hair.
That does not... Dude, this guy does not look like Snoop Dogg.
He looks like Michael Jackson.
Does not look like Michael Jackson whatsoever.
Yeah, he does. Look at him. He got those creepy... That creepy nose.
You're so weird.
You're looking at photos of dudes.
Well, it's on the story.
That's on your background. That's the wallpaper of your laptop.
Skrillex. So be prepared. We might have a review of it coming up.
We're most certainly going to talk about that. Actually, we shouldn't talk about that any further.
Okay. In some good news, we love this artist, this older musician, Charles Bradley. He has a new song called "Can't Fight the Feeling."
He's back.
He's back.
Man, did you ever see him? Did you ever get to see him live?
I never saw him live,
he
but
awesome.
This is going to be off his posthumous album, Black Velvet. That's beautiful. What
Man.
Is that, Velvet?
Dude, I fucking love Charles Bradley.
Me too. Black Velvet's called Can't Fight the Feeling. It's coming November 9th. I absolutely getting this. It sucks that he died. He died recently.
Yeah, probably about like
He had cancer.
Year. Yeah, he was cool, man. Like, he was really fucking good.
Like, if you've ever heard Barrence Whitfield or Charles Bradley, they're all both awesome.
Yeah. Lee Fields is killer, too.
Lee Fields
too,
is good.
But, man, Charles Bradley had that kind of... You know, like, that feeling you get, like, when you talk to, like, a really cool, like, old person that just gets it? Like,
yep.
There's, like, that calm in their voice that happens, and
yep.
It's, like... It's same with, like, Tom Petty. Like, I would put Charles Bradley and Tom Petty in the same realm of, like, man, when you hear that voice, it's soothing, I guess, is the way you could say it. Like, it's very kind of calm, and it, like, you're like, you know what? Everything's going to be all right.
It is good.
He's killer, man. You ever heard that cover of Heart of Stone he does, the Neil Young song?
Yeah, actually, on this new album is going to feature covers by Nirvana, Neil Young, and Rodriguez.
Man, he also did one of Black Sabbath Changes.
Yep.
That is incredible.
Yep, yep, yep.
He kind of does that song. I know this is going to sound crazy, but like I think he does the definitive version of that song. I think it's better than the Sabbath version.
It could be.
Like, the Sabbath one is awesome, and it's so unique and weird. Because of the album that it's on, too, it's that rest of that album, like Master Reality, is just heavy as fuck.
Do you think this will be his last album? Do you think he has like a fucking treasure trove of songs that they'll just keep releasing?
Man, I hope. Well, I bet he was probably working on this before he died. I mean, because like, you know, like we said, he died within a year ago, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
He was 68 and he died. Yeah.
But no, I think Daptone, you know, the label, I think they probably have too much respect for him to do that, you know, just release things that were unfinished. But those guys also aren't going to release anything that isn't killer anyway. Like, if it's, they're not going to release something that's half
finished. Well, this is not coming out from Daptone Records, coming out from Dunham.
Oh, well, regardless, I mean. Yeah.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't, I kind of hope he doesn't. Like, he's one of those artists where, like, I saw him 3 or 4 times, and I kind of like that you just get that little catalog with him, you know?
Yep.
Like, kind of like these guys.
Yes, kind of like the Beatles.
Like, the Beatles are like, they knew when to hang it up, and everything that they left you with is perfect.
Yep.
Like, it's cool to have just that little window of Charles Bradley.
But Charles Bradley is one of those rare artists that has never had a bad album or a bad song, per se. No.
Well, man, he's always working with, like, some killer musicians. And he, man, that guy's just fucking, he had the voice, you know?
Like, no, he did.
Just a fucking great voice.
He's badass.
Yeah, he was badass.
So, yeah, new album coming out. I can't wait. Moving on to some fun as hell news. Marilyn Manson is now selling dildos with his face on them. just in time for Halloween. There are pictures of it. And Jesus Christ. You can get them from his Marilyn Manson's own website. And it's an 8-inch dildo adorned with his face.
Is it
It's called the Double Cross Dildo.
Is it his face from when he was in the Wonder Years?
I'll let you take a look.
Yeah, you know Ghost has already done that.
So he's just late to the party?
Yeah, man. Like, have you ever seen that? The Papa Emeritus dildo, and I think there's like a fucking butt plug they made too.
Yes.
It's funny, man. But yeah, I mean, there's probably some Hot Topic chick out there that wants to shove the fucking Marilyn Manson thing into her ear pussy.
Yeah, in her ear pussy. Manson is following a grand tradition of musicians peddling sexual paraphernalia. In 2013, Ghost offered a box set including a bronze butt plug and silicone dildo shaped like their lead singer. And in 2009, Rammstein presented their own box set featuring not one but 6 dildos, each one inspired by a different member of the band. So,
remember when Foghat made those condoms that were called Slow Ride?
Yes.
Like, they just made them 40 years too late, though.
Kiss never did a dildo. They just did condoms, right?
Yeah, Kiss made condoms. Well, yeah. Because Kiss isn't dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the dildo is a good idea for a band. Because then it's just going to stay home and play with that, right? Why would they go to the show?
Or people might throw it on stage.
You know, but you hand out Kiss condoms, dude. You're like, well, fuck, I'm going to go to the Kiss show and use this.
Yeah. I agree. Marilyn Manson tweeted a picture of his dildo with his face on it and said, I guess this is Halloween. # dick or treat.
You know what? I take back what I said, though. I'm glad bands do stuff like that now.
That's awesome.
My dad told me one time, he goes, you guys should make sunglasses. Dildos. I said, well, no, not dildo sunglasses, just sunglasses. Like, no bands make sunglasses.
Now, do you think the Beatles, if they were still around, would have made dildos with their faces on it?
I don't even think the Beatles ever even made merch. Because they never played, they only got to play live shows for a very brief time. They were too big.
Correct.
You want to go ahead and get into this right now?
No, we're not getting
into it. Just saying, that's like the fourth time we've
mentioned Beatles.
Yeah, because there's this huge stack of records sitting next to me, too.
There is. So, yeah, Marilyn Manson, Double Cross, dildo, plus the bag
of it's double-ended?
Double cross? No, it just said double cross dildo.
I was going to say, dude, he fucking made a Requiem for a Dream version, right?
Oh my god! So okay, moving on. Neil Young announces archival live album "Songs for Judy," recorded during his November 1976 solo tour. I'd imagine this is going to be $500 probably, because the dude charges a ton for his records. 22 song collection was curated by Cameron Crowe and Joel Bernstein, and it will be out on November 30th, CD and digital-wise, and the record release will be out on December 14th in time for Christmas. So there's an unreleased track called No One Seems to Know. I like Neil Young.
Your Neil Young kicks ass.
He is. He does.
He is.
He is kick-ass.
He is kick-ass.
So, this was not in any of those big box sets he's released or anything?
Dude, this guy's got so much fucking music. Like, he's like the Canadian version of Prince. I'm serious, man, because he's already released. Like, if you go back and look at his catalog of anthology things he's released, he had his own He had like a Blu-ray. He's very into Blu-ray.
Yes.
And he had that website that was like, if you bought the archive box set
Blu-ray,
3 yeah. or something, it gave you a code. And then when you typed that code in on the website, it opened up all this other shit
right.
for you. Like, man, I love Neil Young.
I love Neil Young too.
Like, and he's been, you know, even in the last like 5 years or so, he's released a lot of music. Like, some of it's not really that great, but the fact that he's still that kind of prolific and like writing.
And he has like great documentaries about him and like concert films about him too.
There's a really good video of him in like the late 70s mm-hmm. going into a record store in like New York or something. And there's in the store, they're selling bootlegs. They're selling Neil Young bootlegs. And there's a video camera following Neil around. He walks in and he sees the bootlegs and he grabs all of them, right? Picks all of them up out of the counter, walks over. Grabs him out of the rack and walks over to the counter, and the guy working, he says, well, hey, man, where'd you get these records from? Because, you know, I play on these, and I don't remember releasing them. And the guy working is like, well, the owner brings those in, and, you know, I don't really know a lot about him. He's kind of getting a little, you know, shaky. Neil's like, well, I'm going to take these with me because, you know, there's bootlegs. You guys shouldn't be selling these bootlegs. And the guy working, like, freaks out. It's really good, man. Like, he's like, you can't just take them. You know, that's stealing. And he goes, you're stealing from me. Like, these are bootlegs. You know, I'm not seeing anything from these, and this is me playing on them.
There you go.
So Neil Young's always been very, like, hands-on with his music.
Most of his stuff is more expensive than other artists.
Well, not really. I mean, his records tend to be.
And his tickets are to live shows, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, dude, think about it. Have you ever seen Neil live?
No.
Okay. You ever seen Bob Seger?
No.
Same similar thing happens at both. They start playing, and from the very first song to the very last song, you leave going, I knew every one of those songs.
Yeah.
Neil Young has got, like, 50 probably iconic songs.
He's not a one-hit wonder.
No. I mean, a one-hit wonder, like, you have to have zero substance of your band.
Right.
Like, you cashed in, right? There's no, Neil Young is, like, what people should, true artists and, like, musicians.
Like Bob Dylan. Can you compare him to Bob Dylan?
No, well, kind of. Dylan, kind of, though, live now is just tapered off. Like,
it's terrible.
Yeah, he's not interested.
Right.
Where Neil, though, is very, very cool, unique guitar player. He's got a very awesome sound. Like, he's still into it, though.
Right.
Like, he'll play Rockin' in the Free World and fucking, like,
jam out the best
you've ever heard it. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's like,
I've seen him, I've seen clips of him perform that live, and it's badass.
Yeah, but then he'll do, you know, like, Danger Bird or fucking, like, Cortez the Killer, and he'll play it for, like, 32 minutes, and it just never gets old. Like, where other bands, and he only ever plays 3 chords in a song. Like, in Neil Young songs, they're not, like, you know, technically crazy, and there's not a lot of, like, jazz chords and stuff going on. They're just very well-written, vibey songs. Like, he kicks ass, man.
So
he's a little too political for me, but I still love him. I'd love to meet him.
Would you like to get this album?
The archive thing? Nah, I don't really get excited about that kind of stuff. Like, if it was only if he released a live album from, like, 1973, I would get excited about that, but are that archive stuff?
1976, I mean, solo tour. It's like a
solo tour. That's why I said 1973. Dude, he's playing with, like, Crazy Horse. He's still rocking. If he's Neil Young solo, that means he's playing acoustic guitar and piano.
Correct.
Which I love that too. But
I do too.
Dude, I love him when he's rocking out, man.
Me too. Like,
what's the best Neil Young album? Or what's your favorite Neil Young album?
Is it Harvest Moon?
Harvest Moon was in the 90s, and then Harvest was in the 70s.
Harvest. Yeah. Harvest.
Man, you got to listen to Zuma.
Zuma.
Yeah. That's got Cortez the Killer. It's a fucking, that one's a masterpiece, dude. I think that's his best album.
I like Neil Young. I'm a fan.
Yeah. I mean, and then you factor in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
And Buffalo Springfield.
Buffalo Springfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Good shit.
Yeah, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 3 times.
Damn well better.
Yeah. I bet he wants out of it, though.
He seems,
you know what I mean? Like, he's like the antithesis of what that thing is all about. There's a lot of people in there that
don't want him to be.
Yeah. Steve Miller. Remember when Steve Miller railed on him?
Yes.
When they inducted him?
Yes.
Dude, that's fucking
It's hardcore.
From Dallas, dude. Absolutely. Making, see, not everyone's an idiot from here.
No. We got good people from Dallas.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Paul McCartney announces massive new Wings reissues. I guess they did all the Beatles reissues. Now they're doing all the Wings reissues.
They've already reissued those Wings albums, though.
Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway expanded with bonus tracks and an unreleased film and more. So, yeah. Some are going to be coming with DVDs, 128-page books, scrapbooks, all sorts of shit. So if you're a Wings fan, there you go. More Paul McCartney.
My least favorite Beatle.
Yeah, it's George Harrison. We'll talk
about it. Whoa, George is your least favorite?
No, I say George is my favorite.
Oh, okay. I was about to fucking hit you.
No, George is my favorite. No, we'll talk about it. All right.
Wish we had that guacamole bowl. The guacamole. Fucking smash Damn. You, dude. What is that thing made out of? Stone?
Stone.
It's like an elephant's testicles.
Babry embryos.
Babry?
Babry. New news, the OJs, who made the song Love Train, announced their final album. Above the Law is the first single from their last album, The Last Word.
Those guys are still kicking?
They are still kicking, man. The legendary R&B group, they are still alive and here. Holy shit, the OJs.
Dude, the OJs were fucking slamming in the early 70s, man. They turned into like a really good powerhouse live band.
Yeah.
Like they had, you know, bands had to then. They just rose to the occasion. The OJs are jamming, dude. That's fucking...
It's good shit.
Hell yeah, man. That's like the Van Halen kind of lifted a little piece from the OJs and bands like Earth, Wind, and Fire and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They had that fucking feel good, just fucking vibing the whole time.
For sure.
Hell yeah, the OJs.
OJs, look them up. Yeah, they get their last album's coming. February 22nd, coming on you.
Oh.
Time for, you know, the...
Black History Month.
Correct.
Get out there.
Moving on. Tom Petty gets a park named after him in Florida hometown.
About time.
It would have been his 68th birthday. It'll be in Gainesville, Florida, and it'll be renamed Tom Petty Park.
I'm surprised they didn't already do that. Like,
out of everything?
Yeah. I mean, what other great things have come out of Florida other than oranges and Tom Petty and Lynyrd Skynyrd?
There you go.
But come on, let's hear it.
Yeah.
No, I bet they have Tom Petty Boulevard or something. Dude, Tom Petty kicks ass.
Yes, he does.
I mean,
on November 16th, there's a new album coming out from Petty. It's called The Best of Everything. And it's a spanning set of Petty's music.
A what? A spanning set?
A career spanning set of Petty's music. So yeah, it'll be a big best of, I think.
You know what's weird though with Tom Petty is I always used to think like, man, why doesn't he have, I wish there was a bunch of Tom Petty live albums, but they don't deviate from those songs when they play them live.
No, I've seen them two or three times.
They don't really do a lot of jamming.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like they play those songs.
The way they're heard on the album.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I always thought it was weird. I was like, man, I wish they'd have more live albums. And then I figured out one day, I was like, oh, well, they don't really deviate from the song much at all. If at all.
Yeah, AC/DC doesn't do that either.
Well, I mean, they'll do a whole lot of Rosie, you know, for like 10 minutes or something. Yeah. But yeah, the rest of those songs, yeah. They're not into that, dude. They're fucking go on to the next one.
Yep.
Don't bore us, get to the chorus. That was Tom Petty's motto.
All right. Speaking of your tennis shoes that have Marvel superheroes on them, Marvel hip hop covers coming to vinyl. New editions of the GZA 50 Cent LL Cool J records featuring Marvel designed artwork. So basically, Marvel Comics, back in 2015, did a bunch of variant comic book issues that paid homage to classic hip-hop albums. And now Marvel and Urban Legends have collaborated to put three of those covers on new vinyl LP reissues, including 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Tryin', LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out, and the GZA's Liquid Swords.
Man, when you started talking about that, I was hoping you were going to say that it was Marvel characters rapping.
I wish.
You know what?
Have Tony Stark and Captain America do like a...
Yeah, like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Who am I? That's what it could be called.
That'd be awesome.
Am I Tony Stark or am I Iron Man, right? Thor could just be talking about smashing people with the hammer, right?
Yeah. Man. Interesting. So if you're Marvel and into hip-hop, it'll be your thing. And the last piece of news, Sean Lennon and Primus's Les Claypool
Ghost
announced...
Ghost of a Saber-Tooth Tiger?
Yes. Yeah, they announced a new album. Blood and Rockets is the lead single from the Claypool Lennon Delirium South of Reality.
Have you ever listened to that?
I have not.
Dude, it's really fucking good.
I'm a big
fan. It sounds like Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah. I'm a fan of Primus. I mean, I have a concert poster framed from them.
Oh, they're cool, man. But the Ghost of a Saber-Tooth Tiger stuff that Sean Lennon does, dude, that shit is awesome. I'm excited about that. They played at the Majestic the last time they came to town. Yeah, I didn't go. If they come back, we should go, man. That'd be a killer spot to see them.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, it's called South of Reality, coming out February 22nd.
My dad, do you remember when Woodstock 94?
Oh, the one with all the riots and shit?
No, that was 99. That was Woodstock 99.
Okay.
That was Limp Bizkit and '94, they had Metallica, Nine Inch Nails.
Okay, yes. Which is super
Blind Melon played.
Yeah. Which is weird to me because the original Woodstock was more blues and not...
Well, no, not at all. I mean, because they had Sha Na Na. They had that Canned Heat, which was blues. But then they also had Sly and the Family Stone, which was your funk. They had The Who.
Who and maybe Hendrix might be the big rock ones there.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Those are more blues. Not
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young is not blues at all.
Rock and roll?
They're just transcendent. Like, I don't really know what you would call Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Because they did get rock and roll a little bit, but there was a lot of acoustic-y kind of, you know. They were just fucking great.
But yeah, 1994 Metallica, which was fine.
Mountain played at fucking Woodstock. I mean, but...
But 1999, they fucked it up because they just went corporate MTV with it.
Well, and 94 got corporate too, but what were we talking about?
The Claypool Lennon.
Oh, yeah. Primus played at Woodstock 94. And I would tell my dad, I'm like, Dad, you should listen to this band Primus because South Park was kind of starting to happen.
Yeah.
And my dad likes South Park. And I was like, yeah, the guy, the singer in this band, it's like he's a member of South Park or something. Like he's singing about big brown beavers and, you know, damn blue collared tweakers. So I got my dad to watch Woodstock 94 when I was a kid. I was like, yeah, look, check it out. And he fucking got into that song. But there's a point in it where Les Claypool's thudding around the stage, taking these real big, he's got a headset mic on Garth Brooks, and he's doing the fucking, hey, yeah, dun, 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 hey. And my dad was fucking air guitar into it. It was hilarious, man. But he's like, yeah, I like that band with the tweaker song.
Yeah. And Primus still does the theme song for South Park.
Because he's so man, Les Claypool rules.
Yeah.
He's incredible. Very, very good. He's a great bass player.
Les Claypool.
He rules, man.
Sean Lennon.
When does that come out?
February 22nd, same time as the OJs.
Dude, that would be killer to have, if we could get them in the same room. The OJs, Les Claypool, and Sean Lennon.
Holy
that would be
shit.
A hell of a blunt going around, right? We'd smoke a Jeffrey.
We would smoke, climb the furry walls.
What's in this joint? Oh, dude, it's got acid, mushrooms. There's some Jeffrey. Fucking Adderall, right?
Yes.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop. All the juggalos out there.
Ah, the juggalos. Sadly, no ICP news today.
Wait. Did you see the video of the dude trying to drop kick Fred Durst? The guy from Insane Clown Posse?
Yes.
Really him? The Shaggy 2 Dope? Who's the skinny one?
Silent Shaggy
J?
2 Dope.
Are their names?
Violent J and Shaggy
Violent
2 Dope.
Violent J, that's it. I knew one of them was something J.
Oh, it's so good.
What a bunch of clowns.
Just clowning around.
Fucking, hey, man, that's brilliant, though. They have their own festival. There's never been a riot at the Gathering of the Juggalos. And those same people were at Woodstock 99.
Because of Limp Bizkit and stuff.
Yeah, dude,
that.
It's the same fan base.
Not Limp Bizkit and ICP.
I forget that you are an ICP fan.
I do have a couple of albums here.
You know, the thing is, I think, I wouldn't say I would ever be a fan, but I think what really excites me about that band is the fact that their fans go and just have a really good time.
Yeah. They're very theatrical.
Well, but they're, it's kind of like a, like ICP is like a lifestyle.
Yes.
Right? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, people live by that code.
Similar to like WWE, right? WWF, wrestling. You know, there's a group of, like, I'm a music nerd. You know what I mean? Like, we went to a fucking book clearance sale.
Yes.
Right? So, right. I mean, there's like those little pockets of like subculture that happen. You know, Dungeons and Dragons and fucking video games and... You know, people get addicted to fucking, or not addicted, but, you know, there's people hooked on makeup and stuff, right?
Right.
They do the same thing. They're just passionate about it. But I think it's pretty cool that those guys, like, had a, like, they have an image, you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of a brand.
No, absolutely.
They have the fuck, like, the serial killer running with the hatchet.
Right.
Right? It's like Motorhead. You know, you see that font, and even
you
if
know
it was
exactly what it is.
Even if it was other letters, right? Like if it said "fuck you," but it was in the Motorhead script.
You would know, like, oh yeah, that's...
yeah, you'd go, oh, that's Motorhead.
No, ICP. They did their Joker's cards. They did. They have their theatrical stuff. They're weird. They were into wrestling.
They single handedly saved a soft drink.
Yeah, they did. Faygo.
I mean, that's crazy.
It's insane.
They're worth a lot of money, I bet.
They're worth tons of money.
Yeah. Good for them. Didn't they used to have like a podcast show thing, like a video? They were sitting on a couch because I remember they had wrestlers come in.
I don't remember that. I remember they were on Howard Stern quite a bit.
Yeah, I remember when that guy called in and said he was going to come up there and fuck him up.
Yeah.
And then the guy in ICP starts talking shit back to him.
Yeah.
And then the dude actually shows up and he pusses out. The guy's like, oh, man, you know, I'm not into violence. It's like, dude, have you heard your fucking lyrics?
It's all about
your,
like,
name is Violent M or whatever.
Violent J.
Yeah, Violent J.
Shaggy Too Dope.
Shaggy Too Dumb. Which one tried to drop kick Durst? He came within inches of the. You remember how earlier we were talking about, man, sometimes it's cool to like go on YouTube and watch the pimple popping videos?
Yes.
If imagine if that guy would have connected with Durst, right? Everyone would have, if Violent J would have kicked Fred Durst and made contact, everyone would have been an ICP fan. They would have went, thank God someone finally did it, right? Like if someone would have knocked out Bill Cosby, right? Walk into the fucking courtroom and he had a heart attack and just that was it. You know what I mean? Like it would go, that guy's a hero.
Yeah, it was Shaggy Too Dope, the skinny one.
Yeah, but you've seen the video, right?
Yeah, he
misses him by like, it's like 2 inches. It's like, God, dude, you're right there.
In Shane Composite's Violent J says Shaggy 2 Dope was just having fun when he tried to drop kick Limp Bizkit's Fred Durst.
Dude, and he gets elevated too, man. He's like 3 or 4 feet off the ground. Like he's completely horizontal.
No, well that they used to be in that thing, and I'm sure that was just it's right here, and he comes really close.
No, that's what I'm saying, dude. It's a matter of inches. Like it's a matter of inches. He almost fucking did it.
And you think that it's just like he's insane on stage and he got really into it. He's like, fuck it.
No,
damn.
He wasn't performing though. Like, I think Limp Bizkit was playing and then Violent J was backstage.
Yeah.
And he fucking maneuvered his way, right? Like, onto the stage and was like, I'm going to dropkick this motherfucker, right? Like, think about it, right? They could have been partying before, and someone could have said something, right? And then, like, fuck you. Then they go out on stage, and they're doing their thing, thinking they're untouchable, right? Well, this other motherfucker's thinking, like, I'm going to get his ass during the show. And he waited, because Fred Durst is right at the end of the stage, too.
Right.
Like, if he would have connected, A, he would have kicked the shit out of him. Yeah. B, he would have probably went tumbling forward 3 or 4 feet, and he's on an elevated stage. So
right.
He probably would have hit like a guardrail.
Yeah.
Right? Like cracked his head open. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like 2 inches is all we needed, man. And he fucked it up, dude.
He fucked it up.
He did. He shit the bed, man.
He fucked it up.
Dude, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is going on outside of this window.
It is. It's happening.
Oh, and I'll tell you what. Also, my Fire Stick that I got for my birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
From Shauna. Thank you. The first movie I searched for on there.
Human Centipede?
No.
Salo.
No. Calm down.
Calm down. Get excited.
I searched for those later, but no. What's a movie that you and I both think is just like, this is a masterpiece?
The Gate.
No, not The Gate. Monster Squad.
Monster Squad.
First movie I've searched for, and it's on there.
It's on there. On Netflix, yeah, probably.
No, it's not on Netflix. It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, I just wanted to make sure it was there.
Wolfman's got nards.
Dude, Wolfman does have nards.
It's good shit.
I love that movie.
I love that movie, too.
It's so fucking good.
Oh, that's one hit wonder when you do Richie Sambora.
Rockin' till you drop,
dance until your heart stops.
See, but I don't know, man. I don't consider that a one-hit wonder. Because that again, it's like the Beatles. They transcended the movie realm. Like it's think of it this way: if any other music would have been in that movie, it would have made that movie worse. The music, every piece of music that's in Monster Squad, even to where it's placed, is perfect.
Well, there's the rap song at the very end. It's called Monster Squad. Monster Squad. Ooh, the Monster Squad.
They should have implemented a sample of "Give Me the Amulet, You Bitch" into that song.
Oh yes, that's a scary scene,
dude. I mean, that movie. I could do a whole episode, a podcast of only talking about that movie.
It's a great movie
because even their names are great. Scary German guy and Eugene.
Eugene,
right?
You know, we might have to do that.
It's perfect. That's a perfect movie. It is the fucking perfect, and the monsters are great in it. I love the monsters in it.
Andre, Ryan, if you're listening to this, we love your movie.
Yeah, huge fan.
Huge fan. No,
I am, man. Everybody, I love that movie. Even the dog.
Okay, good shit. I love it.
What was the dog's name?
Dog.
Was it Ernie?
How'd the dog get up here anyway? I don't remember.
Wait a minute. There was a dog.
There was a dog.
Okay,
he got onto the treehouse, and they're like, how does a dog get up in the treehouse anyway?
Yeah. For some reason, I questioned that for a second.
Dog's name in Monster Squad.
I remember it.
You do remember it?
I think it's Ernie.
Scary German guy.
Yeah, what was his name? Did they ever call him anything other than that?
I'll have to look, but I don't think so.
Yeah. You said he's the only one that he passed away from the cast?
He's definitely dead.
Don't say it like that.
No, the fat kid Horace is dead. He killed himself in Vegas.
What?
Years ago, yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
It
really
does suck. Yeah, Andre Gower was Sean, of course. We know him as...
I bet the dog isn't alive now either.
Oh, God, technical difficulties everywhere, but everything's okay. The dog is fine. Everything's fine. Jacob, are you fine?
Dog bit my penis.
Is it okay?
Remember that? Remember when the dog bit Larry's penis in Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes.
What, he couldn't bang? It was Xena, right?
Right.
What was her name? Lori or fucking the actress's name?
Lauren Graham.
Yeah. She's like, what? A dog bit your what? Dog bit my penis. And he does his hands like this.
Yeah. He's funny. But yeah, we're back. Technical difficulties. The dog's fine. Everybody's fine. We're talking about Monster Squad.
Just the soundtrack of it.
Soundtrack.
Yeah. Since it's music-related cast.
Yeah, it's great.
But the music enhances that movie.
I agree.
It's perfect.
I love that movie. It's great. I have the soundtrack.
You know, it's weird. Like, I never encounter anyone that gets excited about that movie like you and I do.
Because it's so damn... The other person is Andrew Conway. He loves that fucking movie
so much.
Well,
I know there's people out there, but I'm saying, like, I can't believe that of the amount of people that I know and that I would think... I like, hey, these people probably like good movies and within a certain aspect, you know? Like, they don't get the greatness of that movie.
Well, no, they don't, because I don't tell
you... My buddy Matt, one of my really good friends, Matt, he loves that movie too.
It's great. Tell you a story about that. So at this film festival I always go to every year in Austin called Fantastic Fest, they have a section that takes place after midnight at a gym called Fantastic Debates. And the festival sets up a topic for two people to debate in front of a live audience. And then these two people who, after their debate, get into a ring and box each other. One of the years that I was there... they had Andre Gower, the main star of Monster Squad, talk to somebody who was the head of the Goonies fan club and talk about which movie was better, Monster Squad or Goonies. And then they got into a fight afterwards.
Who won the fight?
Andre.
Yeah.
And the debate, because you're like, okay, yeah, Goonies is fun, pirates and shit, but like, holy shit, Monster Squad, it's got fucking monsters. It's got virgins. It's got Holocaust survivors. It's got Dracula. It's got insane.
When you say it like that, yeah, how can you even compete?
Yeah, you can't. It's goddamn good.
Oh, it's, man, it's definitely superior to the Goonies. No doubt about it. Like, not in my mind anyway. I mean, it's a way better movie.
I like Goonies, but if I had a choice to watch Goonies or Monster Squad,
the rest of your life,
99.9% of the time, pick Monster Squad.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough question for sure. Because they are both great.
They are great, but like...
It's kind of like the Beatles and the Stones.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to get... If they went, the Beatles or Creed, one of them's going to shit on you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But they're both great. But yeah, I think Monster Squad is the better movie.
It's goddamn good.
And it doesn't have that fucking goofy-ass Cyndi Lauper in it. Right?
It does not.
She's annoying.
She's...
It's like, just go to the mall and be quiet. Right? Like, put on a fucking pink tutu, right? And just shift around the mall with your fucking...
Good enough.
Yeah, it's horrible. Like, that...
The music video was awesome. It's all the wrestlers.
Yeah, but still, though. I mean, that song sucks.
Good enough? I mean, I'd rather listen to Rock Until You Drop any day of the week, for sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, all right. Let's move on to our one-hit wonder.
You know what else, though, before
we get into one-hit
one more wonders, thing I'll one say thing. About... Because you can attest to this. Of all the movie remakes of classic horror movie monsters, you know, Frankenstein, Wolfman, The Creature, Mummy, Monster Squad did the best original take on those characters than any other movie.
I will say I will agree with that, because one of my favorite scenes in a movie is... Because you're always talking about the Wolfman. He can't die. When they, like, blow him up... His body, like,
yeah, comes back together,
and you see the silhouette of him howling. I thought that was so badass and howling, because they never showed that.
Yeah, it's odd. Well, they couldn't afford it.
Yeah. Well, they never showed that in a previous movie.
Yeah.
It was just really cool how they showed that.
Well, it was, they were, like, even the creature, like, their version of the creature that they did is fucking, I mean, it's cool, man. Like,
I agree, man. They did a good job with those, you know, 1930s, 40s.
Yeah, like even in the dude when he shoots the mummy, the bow and arrow, right?
Yeah.
And unravels him, like...
Band-Aid breath.
Yeah, they did. It's just the best original, the best take on those animals.
That's
on
Shane
those, on
Black
those
and Fred Dekker.
Yeah, well, they fucking, good for them.
Good shit. Okay, enough news. Let's move on to Jacob's favorite one-hit wonder, Lit, the song My Own Worst Enemy. Released in March 1999 on Lit's second album, A Place in the Sun.
Hey, audibly do the guitar riff real quick. How does the song start? And you have to have on like flame shoes.
But it's not as hard as that as I'm singing. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
And like when you...
There's a lot of hair gel in that music video.
My How I can come close to describing like the lead singer in this song is like, you remember that movie Dead Man on Campus?
Dead Man on Campus.
With Zach Morris as the pot smoker.
I don't remember this movie at all.
Okay. It's kind of like an American Pie type movie, but set at college. And one of these guys had a roommate of, I'm thinking, is this the right movie? Where he was like a goth heavy metal guy, and then secretly he was like the lead singer of this band who was just like chipper and happy and just a poser, basically.
Yeah.
That's where my mind goes. You never saw Dead Man on Campus?
I feel like I kind of had, like, he sells weed in the movie?
I mean, it's not a big part of the movie.
He's like an elder college. He's in a different level, a different grade or something. And it's like following some newcomers or something?
Well, no. It's basically the main guy moves in and his roommate has been there for a while, who is Zach Morris. But the whole thing is like they begin to fail and they try to fake their deaths or fake somebody's death to get all passing grades.
Oh, from like trauma or something?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. It kind of sounds familiar, but...
But there's a person in that, like Jason Segel's in it. One of his
but this band movies. Lit is in it?
No, but like that's who I think about this character in the movie, because it's just like a jackass.
Dude, yeah, that's what that song sounds like. That song's for a jackass. Right?
It is. So the song was only moderately successful at first, but then it reached number 17 on the modern rock tracks, and then it took off from there. 1.3 million copies in the U.S. Sold. It's insane.
1 million.
Insane. Its music video was filmed at a Las Vegas bowling alley. And it's considered pop punk and power pop. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, it's a sign of the times, man. Like, there's like gold button-up shirts happening in this video. And like, you remember those, like, you could buy like blue flame Skechers?
Yes.
You know, like someone's yes. wearing those, and then there's definitely some beaded necklaces and some shell necklaces happening. It's a fucking, that song is just like kind of tells you what was going on. That's what people were into in 1999.
It was, and I guess like the guitarist Jeremy Popoff said the song was the result of waking up and realizing you screwed up the night before, and then vocalist Jay Popoff said that the song was the combination of many, many quotations incidents. He God, had gotten in trouble with the law for public nudity in the late 90s. And he sang My Own Worst Enemy nude in the studio, which... Weird?
That's not necessary.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Yeah. So, well, maybe if you were in the Beatles, you would do that, but I don't think... maybe that's what that song needed. Hey, pop off. Take those pants off. You got to sing this song. Like, maybe that's what took him to the next level. Did you ever drive around and listen to that song?
This song?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
I didn't like this song. I didn't like Three Doors Down. I like Third Eye Blind. I don't like any of that shit.
I don't either.
But I never... Why would I listen to it?
I don't know. Like, you just got caught up in it for a minute, right? Like, you owned a Creed CD.
I don't own a Creed
you
CD.
You owned a Creed CD.
I did not.
You said you did.
When?
You told me, like, a couple... Like, two podcasts ago.
I don't think I owned a Creed CD. I think I owned a Creed song, which was like a pay-per-view WWE pay-per-view song
nah,
at one point. But I don't think I ever owned a Creed album.
Mm.
Ever. And I'm trying to remember which one, if I did.
All of them. You had all of them.
I didn't have all Creed.
You had bootlegs of live recordings.
Yes.
You called them...
That's why Scott Stapp went crazy.
You called it Scott's Vaults, is what you referred to your Creed live bootleg collection as. Right? Yeah.
It's insane.
From the vault.
So, I'm going to read you James Oldham from NME called My Own Worst Enemy the song totally loathsome, poisonous stuff.
Yeah.
But
oh,
quite
yeah.
addictive.
Well, it's a song probably most people could relate to. Like, if you just read
if you have... Everybody has a bad day, so...
Well, that's about blacking out, getting drunk, though. That's about getting blackout drunk.
Yeah, and getting naked and running away from the cops.
How's my car in the front yard? Like, the lyrics, right? Like, it's just fucking... I don't know, man. That song ain't good.
I don't get it. I don't want to get it. It
sold a million copies.
It's more than a million copies. Holy shit.
Almost 2 million.
It sold more than it needed to. It's never been...
Number one?
Well, no. It's never been remade.
Oh, well, why fix a great thing? I mean...
My Own Worst Enemy has been incorrectly attributed to Blink-182, and its title misquoted as Please Tell Me Why.
Yeah, get it right, man.
Which is really funny. It was featured in the American Pie stuff. It was featured on the TV show Parks and Rec, Rock Band 2, and the Rock Kevin Hart movie Central Intelligence. So... Interesting.
That song sounds like an Ed Hardy shirt looks.
That's a good goddamn way. Yeah, because like both
right?
are total shit.
Yeah, you can look...
And you know exactly the type of person who it is who's wearing an Ed Hardy shirt are listening to this.
Yeah, they're listening to that song.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I'm right, yikes. I'm right, aren't I?
You are right. You are very much right, sir.
It's gross.
Gross. All right. That's our one-hit wonder, My Own Worst Enemy, by the band called Lit.
Lit. Go run out and check them out.
They formed in 1988 in Fullerton, California. What to say? I don't know. But, good God. Lit.
Thank you for blessing us with this incredible masterpiece of a song.
Shit. Let's move on to the complete antithesis of this. And talk about our main event of the day, the Unbalanced Note, episode 11, cranking it up with British men.
The Ruddles.
The Ruddles, Monty Python style. The Beatles.
I like how they just made George and the Ruddles the Indian.
Well.
Right?
It made sense. The Beatles, if you don't know, English rock band formed in Liverpool in 1960. And for as popular as they got, they didn't play very long, less than a decade actually together. And they are still the most talked about and best bands ever. And they never had any other band members minus
Pete
the
Best.
Four of them. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, Ringo Starr.
Well,
was going to be a fifth Beatle with...
They had Pete Best before Ringo.
That's true, Pete Best. But that was before any of the albums came out.
Yeah.
But they almost had, what's his name?
Clapton was going to join them.
No. Black guy. Billy Preston.
Oh, Billy Preston, yeah. Well, he was
playing with them.
He was the sixth Beatle. George Martin was the fifth Beatle.
George Martin?
Yeah, the producer.
Maybe.
No, he definitely is the fifth Beatle.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
But yeah, so we all know kind of like how they started out. You know, they were four dudes in Liverpool, and they were all sort of maybe around the same age. Ringo definitely was the oldest. But they kind of came out and they started singing like almost like 1950s-esque songs where they were like a little under 2 minutes each, and you know, I want to hold your hand and please please me, and you know, but then in the short time frame the Beatles really progressed in their music, in their lyrics, and their meaning, and even like outfits, from like clean cut, you know, haircuts and suits playing in shaggy bearded dudes Sergeant Pepper style.
Well, you're kind of right, but you're also wrong, I think, at the same time. Because, well, think about a song like 8 Days a Week.
Right.
Like, the lyrics in that, like, their lyrics, they were always great songwriters.
Correct.
They just came, you know, when they came out, you know, the first album, I think, is in 62, right? And they're doing, you know, it's kind of like this really cool take on, like basically the Beatles, to me, they took the best parts of, like, the Everly Brothers, Chuck Berry and like Little Richard and Buck Owens and Chet Atkins. They took all of those things and then kind of forged it together with these, like, you know, a songwriting force that has like never been matched and will never be matched, you know, ever, with Lennon and McCartney.
Right.
I mean, when you just go back and look at all of the songs that they wrote and all the George Harrison songs that were just, they're absolutely fucking incredible. But yeah, fucking get like, I Want to Hold Your Hand, dude. That song is, I mean, their lyrics are fucking great.
Their first studio album, was Please Please Me.
Yeah. When what, that's 62, right?
63.
Okay. 63.
And so the first track, one side one, is I Saw Her Standing There. You have Misery, Anna, Chains, Boys, Ask Me Why, Please Please Me.
Yeah, a lot of those are covers. Like Chains is a
correct.
Cover. Boys is a cover.
Yeah, Carole King. Yeah, and then but on the on their side two, which is all them, is Love Me Do, P.S. I Love You, Baby It's You, Do You Want to Know a Secret, A Taste of Honey, There's a Place, and then ended on Twist and Shout, which back then they kind of record all the songs in a row, and Lennon just kind of let his voice go.
Yeah, and that's
yelling Twist and Shout.
And he is, I mean, that early John Lennon stuff, he is rock and roll vocal to the extreme. I mean,
yes,
just unbelievable.
But like with these guys, like, do you think did John Lennon really get these guys together? Is that the guy that got them together?
Man, I think it was just it was one of those timing, like, impeccable, like it'll never be duplicated. Like, it was the right group of people at the right time in the right spot together.
It,
like,
was so
it
Paul just, McCartney,
it, bam, it happened.
John Lennon had a band, and then Paul McCartney, who was a couple years younger, joined the band, and Paul was like, oh, I have a friend, George, come watch this band. And then George got in, and then they had their band, but they had a different drummer.
Yeah, Pete Best.
But then they ended up with
Richard Starkey.
But yeah, that's, I mean,
it was just a perfect, it was a perfect.
Do you think about that? Because that's never happened. Like, in a small ass town, that's like going to Little Elm, Texas, and having fucking four people of Stone, that caliber.
No, the Stones and the Kinks were the same way. It was just those. The Beatles were just on. They're just on their own playing field.
They were on a different level.
Yeah, they absolutely just overshadowed everyone else. Like they're incredible. Like the way they looked. I mean, like think about that. Like when people first saw them on Ed Sullivan, they're hearing them and seeing them for the first time, and they look nothing like anybody else in the world.
Right.
Like in any part of the world, no one looked like them. So then when, you know, look up how many people saw that Ed Sullivan performance. I think it's something like 70 million people watched it around the world. And it was they weren't just a fucking
73 million viewers in over 23 million households
in 1963.
1964.
Okay.
A week before Valentine's.
So think about that. That is almost the fucking, I mean,
is that more than Super Bowl? No, it's not more than Super Bowl.
Oh yeah. Well, if you look at it and like if you moved that number forward and would think about how many people would watch it now, it would totally. I mean, it was a culture shock for people. They were like, man, it was like a second coming, like what Elvis, the impact he had when people first saw that.
Right.
It was that times four because there's four of them, and now they're all playing instruments, right? Like they fucking write their own songs, and they were, man, they're just incredible.
Do you consider them a boy band?
No, not at all. That term wasn't even, it's like one hit wonder. That one hit wonder, remember the first one we did and we were talking about like one hit wonders didn't happen in the 50s and 60s. There was substance in those songs and stuff. Like something like a one hit wonder, like that Lit song, is there's nothing going on in it. Like it's purposely written to be a one hit wonder. These guys didn't do that. They wrote albums of shit, of incredible music. I don't consider them a boy band at all. Like,
no, they wrote, they played, and I will say this: when you hear Beatles music and it sounds simplistic, if you've ever tried to actually play their music on guitar or piano or anything, their chords and riffs are super difficult.
Yeah, they're weird. Like they're very unique, but it's that Chet Atkins, Duane Eddy guitar stuff that they do, where they pulled from a lot of different variables of like rock and roll and made it into one, you know? So then they did those first, and they did the first four albums. Then I think they only played shows as the Beatles, like that level of success.
Yeah.
For a handful, maybe 2 or 3 years, because the PA hadn't been developed. People couldn't hear them because everyone was screaming.
Right.
And they could barely hear themselves. And there were, you know, stadiums and those kinds of things weren't housed for concerts yet.
Right.
You know, so it was, people were paying money to go stand and hear people scream, but they were cool with it because they're watching history. You know, it's like they knew, some of those people either knew what they were seeing or their minds just got absolutely fucking blown.
Well, nobody had come out and sung stuff like that before.
They were cool, man. Like they're fucking, they're the perfect band, man. And then when they get into, you know, like Rubber Soul and Revolver, where they start, you know, hanging out with Dylan and like smoking weed and starting doing, you know, hallucinogens and shit. Yeah, man. They were going to be great. They were going to do that anyway.
Right.
But they collectively like went in, they were a team, man. Like they did everything kind of together, you know?
Yeah.
And they, I don't know, man, there was a magic and like a fucking, just that thing that happens very rarely with bands. And it, I mean, they just absolutely took it to a whole nother level.
Do you think by them coming to America, it made them bigger?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were, it's kind of the reverse, like what they did with Hendrix. Hendrix had to start in Europe first, then come back to America.
Right.
So the Beatles were already going in 60, and they were, you know, they played a lot in Hamburg. They were real big in Germany.
Well, that's where they first started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they bounced back to, you know, Europe, and then they kind of, or into the UK, then they played Europe a little bit. Then they were fucking, we're ready for America.
Right.
And you got to remember, for a band of this magnitude to try to travel in the 60s, I mean, you didn't have things like luxury fucking airliners and, you know, mega buses that could move you and security and different entrances into buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
Normal people would just stand in a line and wait for the band to come into town. When the Beatles came to town, it was pandemonium.
Well, it was called Beatlemania.
Yeah. I mean, it was just absolutely... Like, you'd think the fucking, you know, Jesus is coming or something, you know? Or
well,
like,
thousands and thousands of people would go to the airports and yeah. wait for them and yell.
Yeah.
Walk I mean, off streets.
Just an absolute fucking... Nothing like that will ever happen again. Nothing of that level. Because they fucking transcended time, man. Like... But I love, man, like Revolver. That's their... What's your favorite Beatles album?
Oh, favorite Beatles album. Oh, my goodness. I am a...
Like, if I were to say to you, Brian, the rest of your life...
One Beatles
you,
album?
You have one Beatles record. Which one would you pick?
It wouldn't be Rubber Soul. Oh, God damn it.
That would be up there, though.
I love that one.
That's
so
my
much.
Third. That's my third.
I would probably have to say maybe Magical Mystery Tour.
Really?
Because I love Fool on the Hill.
Yeah,
Fool on
the Hill's great.
I love Hello Goodbye. I love Penny Lane and All You Need Is Love.
Flying is on there too. That's instrumental.
Yes.
Da, na, yep. na, na, na.
I love Strawberry Fields Forever. Baby, You're a Rich Man.
Blue Jay Way.
Yep. Goddamn that's, good. That's a Harrison
song. Yeah, that's a Harrison. Yeah.
I love Magical Mystery Tour, but I mean, every one of their, what is so good. And like, so like Abbey Road is like their last album. I mean, technically it was Let It Be, but that was after they kind of ended, right?
Yeah. Well, they broke up during it.
Right. Yeah. So Abbey Road was their last, well, Let It Be was their last one, but I mean, their second album with the Beatles, I mean... You got It Won't Be Long, All I've Got to Do, All My Lovin'. I mean, Please, Mr. Postman cover. Roll Over Beethoven cover. Hold Me Tight. You Really Got a Hold on Me. These are fantastic songs. Money, That's What I Want, which has been covered tons of times over the years. The
yeah.
Beatles just really did it.
Dude, they were. I mean, it's not kind of till you get to the next album where the greatness like starts to sink in with them. That's when
A Hard
they,
Day's Night?
Yeah, that's when they hit their stride. Because now they're going to do that. Then they do Help, right?
Yep.
Like, that's this third. The third Beatles album is where they go, wham! They just elevate.
Well, Beatles for Sale, Help, Rubber Soul, Revolver, Sgt. Pepper's,
yeah,
Magical Mystery, the Beatles' White Album, Yellow Submarine, Abbey Road, Let It Be.
Yeah, and so like even Yellow Submarine, right? Which is probably my least favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
That's their worst album. Their worst album is always still better than most people's best albums.
Correct.
Like, Yellow Submarine in the context of the rest of their songs kind of sounds goofy and, you know, it stands out. But if you'd only ever heard that song from them, you'd go, that's a kind of a fun little goofy song.
Yeah, because it's like, we all live.
Yeah, because then when you try, every time I hear that song, I just, in my brain, I start thinking, what are they fucking talking about?
And you look at, like, the album cover and all, like, the characters
yeah.
that came out, and you're like, who
yeah.
came up with
it's
this shit?
It's crazy, right? Like, the Nowhere Man, right? The
yeah.
fucking Blue Meanies and all that shit. Dude, they were cool, man. Like, they were fucking... They're the perfect band. Because even when they were breaking up, right? When they're having that meltdown in the studio and they're working with goofy-ass Phil Spector, they knew that they were at the end of it. Like, they... You could even hear it kind of the way they're talking to each other.
Yeah.
And that's why they're angry, I think. Like, that's why they're so mad and, you know, kind of hateful to each other is because they see, they realize that that's the end of it and they know they're all going to go do solo records. Like, they
right.
all, but they fucking broke up and kept making great music.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, those first four or five John Lennon solo albums are fucking awesome. You get All Things Must Pass right out of the gate with George. And that
yeah.
just, that's the best post Beatles album solo record of them. That's the best.
That's cool.
It's better than anything any of them did.
Yeah.
But they knew they were at the end of the fucking road as the Beatles. Like,
well,
the magic was gone. Like, for them as a group together, like it wasn't, the unit wasn't working anymore. But look up the songs that are on Let It Be.
They're great.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, and they're so kind of, they're sad. Like, most of them are really kind of sad and kind
well,
of...
Let It Be is like, yeah, let it... I mean, we're ending.
They're telling you it.
Yeah.
Like, they're breaking up with the world. You
yeah,
know what
Across
I mean?
The Universe, Dig a Pony, Two of Us, Let It Be, Maggie May, I've Got a Feeling, One After 909, The Long and Winding Road, Get Back, For You Blue by Harrison.
Yeah. I mean, it's like... what a fucking great way to go out. So from the first album to that album, those albums are absolutely perfect. And that's what they left you with. Where even bands that we really like a lot, like ZZ Top, right? In the 80s.
Right.
I don't like 80s ZZ Top. You know, that drum machine stuff.
And yeah.
The Stones made a lot of bad 80s albums. There's not a lot of bands where you can take their entire catalog of studio albums.
Right.
And go, every single one of these is perfect. They're the only band you can do that with.
Was every song, every album was.
Yeah.
They really did a good job.
It was, I mean, and they kind of, they reinvented like the way you can make an album. Like, cause they were one of the first people to really start using like tape loops. Like in Tomorrow Never Knows, right?
Yeah.
And there's that fucking pad that happens and there's just that drone where it goes.
Yes.
And it just carries through the whole song. That's a tape that Harrison cut like on a reel to reel.
Yeah.
And it's just a loop that plays the entire song. So
that's cool.
It's through two tape machines and it creates that kind of ohm feeling, you know, that goes through the song. So, but they were the first band to do backwards guitar, like backtracking.
Yes.
You know, they were revolutionary, like in the studio. Like they sonically sounded different than everyone because they had this big kind of this, I don't know how to describe it. Like it was so unique and better than everything else. Like they upped the bar, they upped the standard.
Yeah. No, they really went all out. I'm curious, when they came to the U.S. for the first time, the journalist Al Aronowitz arranged for the Beatles to meet Bob Dylan, and that's Bob Dylan actually introduced them to weed, like
yeah.
you said.
Yeah,
so
that's when they did Rubber Soul.
So, yeah. So, after that, like, was that the good thing?
Yeah, dude. Think they wouldn't have made Magical Mystery Tour not taking acid. I mean, let's come on now.
Because after they did that,
look at this
Beaters
thing.
For Sale, Help, and Rubber Soul. Yeah, insane. I Am the Walrus.
Yeah, such a bad movie. Have you ever watched the movie?
No.
Oh yeah, it's just them picking up a bunch of old people in a bus, driving them around to a park, and then they wear these costumes for the length of the song, then they get back in the bus.
There you go. That was kind of like, you know, like Hard Day's Night and shit like that. Eight days a week.
Man, they're fucking... they were supposed to play Woodstock.
They were supposed to play Woodstock, absolutely.
Yeah.
They didn't.
No.
Because it was at the very end of, like, they were breaking up.
Yeah, they weren't... Well, they wouldn't have fucking... I mean, that's what's so great about them, though, is because when they started making... Like, they only toured and played live shows as the Beatles when they started making studio albums, the first four records.
Yeah.
After that, they never played live again until they played the last show on top of Abbey Road Studio.
Correct.
They
yep.
never played a live show.
Which is super weird.
So they never went out and like did, you know, Strawberry Fields Forever live with like an orchestra.
Yeah.
Because in the studio, you got to think, when they did Sgt. Pepper and, you know, Magical Mystery Tour, those are huge production albums. There's harps, cellos, fucking... French horns, there's people screaming in the background, like there's people dropping things, and you know it's all kinds of kind of pandemonium going on. Like think about how the very end of Sgt. Pepper starts with that chaos before it goes into
right.
With a Little Help from My Friends.
Yeah.
And there's no computers. You know what I mean? Those are human beings making all that sound.
Yeah, that's like, what? Like all the sound.
Yeah, it's tape warbling, and it's like, it sounds like it's going off the rails, and then it goes fucking.
Billy Shears.
Yeah.
Doom.
And then it's right into it.
Yep.
Like, it's such a, from front to back, all their albums, man, it's like a roller coaster. Like, they're perfect.
It's damn good.
Yeah.
I'd like to read a little anecdote, a little story. In early 1965, following a dinner with John Lennon, George Harrison, and their wives, George Harrison's dentist, John Reilly, secretly drugged them with LSD in their coffee. John Lennon described the experiences as it was just terrifying, but it was also fantastic. I was pretty stunned for a month or two, and then they did Help and Rubber Soul. They said they went into magazines saying it opened my eyes and it made me better and more honest and more tolerant member of society with the LSD.
Yeah. They got their third eye open, man.
There you go.
Like they became one. They were Zen from then on out. Until they started drinking and getting fucking angry with each other.
You think it was alcohol that did it?
Oh, yeah, man.
Or do you think it was like Yoko and...
Well, it was John.
Paul McCartney trying to get away.
I think it was John. It was. I think most of it, the conflict was John.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, even... Because think about it. Harrison and McCartney and Ringo never really went off the rails like Lennon did. Like, the Lost Weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Doing... Just causing chaos down in the canyon. You know, getting fucked up with Harry Nilsson. Like, Alice Cooper. You know, they would fucking go out and just get blackout drunk and just do whatever they wanted. They were rock stars, man. Like, who was bigger than fucking John Lennon?
Nobody.
He's fucking John Lennon.
He's John Lennon.
Hey, did I tell you, did me and you have this conversation about, like, what if Mark Chapman would have shot Yoko? Would the Beatles have got back together? Because think about it, right? John, Yoko was a huge... reason the Beatles broke up. I don't know. I wasn't fucking there, but everything I've ever... I'm like, she didn't do anything to help the situation out, I don't feel.
No.
But so John obviously held her in like a fucking... above everything, right?
Right.
For some reason, he did. So if Mark Chapman would have shot Yoko and like Yoko died, John would have been devastated, right? He'd have lost his everything, you know? The only thing he could have turned to... was the Beatles, right?
Well, like, solo stuff.
Man. No, but I'm saying, but he would have had to have filled that void.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if she would have went before him, he would have become a wreck. He would have just been destroyed. You know what I mean? Right. I think that they probably would have I think the Beatles would have reformed. It had that scenario happen.
Oh, do you think they would have been any good?
Well... Lennon got killed in what, like 77 or 8, right?
Was it 80?
I don't know if it was in the 80s. Maybe. Look it up. I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to remember what, because I thought it was 80s.
But I don't know the exact year. But they'd already made their great run of solo records.
1980, you know? December 8th, okay. 1980.
Well, they'd already made all their great studio albums. I mean, like,
they were done with for 10 years at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so it would have been prime time to try a Beatles reunion, right?
Correct. Do you think that would have been?
I don't know. I think it's one of those good like hypothetical what ifs. Like, man, what if that would have happened? Not that I'm saying I wish someone would shoot Yoko. You know, like that's not what I'm saying.
We know that's not what you're saying. But like, what if he wouldn't have been shot, but Yoko was, we'd still have John Lennon,
right?
Perhaps still today,
yeah.
And more Beatles music, or at least more John Lennon music.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, not Yoko Ono music.
Making bird noises.
Yes.
This is art.
Screaming.
Yeah. It's like, what are you mad about?
It's very...
You were hanging out with a fucking Beatle. You were hanging out with all four of them. What a life she's had, right?
Yeah, oh God, I can't imagine.
But those guys, man, like, I don't know, dude. The Beatles are just, they floor me, like, every time I think about them, like, when I try to explain them, or just, process it, really.
Well, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Because they're more than just a band, though. Like, they kind of, people find they gravitate towards one, right? Like, everybody has a favorite Beatle.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something, even if you don't know them, like you don't know who they are, but there's something about them that you relate to more so than any other band, I think.
Well, it's difficult to pick a favorite one because, you know, they all brought something different to the band and to music.
Well,
like you have to like Paul McCartney because he got all the songwriting. He's a great bass player, and he's more mainstream than most everybody else. So I got that aspect to it.
The point I guess I was trying to make is that how many other bands can you name all the members in? Everybody can name all the Beatles.
Correct.
So that's what I'm saying.
You'd hope so.
Right. Well, you know what I'm saying,
though. Right.
Like,
right.
There's no other band that has that.
Yeah.
Power over.
Maybe people could try with Kiss, but I doubt it.
Nah, there's no fucking way. They'd go the space guy, the fucking demon.
Cat dude. Right, the
cat guy, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, completely.
Like, you can't do it with any other band. Most people can't.
Right.
I'm telling you, dude. There's something on a personal level. Even when you look at them, like if you just look at the Meet the Beatles cover,
yeah,
you kind of go, well, I think that one will be my favorite. Like you pick one,
yeah.
It just has that. It just naturally has that thing that happens. That's another thing with the Beatles. All their album covers are iconic.
Yes, they are.
Every single fucking one of them.
Do you think the most iconic one is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts?
Absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Because that was... Oh, man. So, according to the audio engineer, the album took over 700 hours to make, which is a ton of time. And he said, like, the bands insisted that everything had to be different. They had microphones right down to the bells of brass instruments and headphones turned into microphones attached to violins. They used giant primitive oscillators to vary the speed of instruments and vocals. And it basically just to do everything different with this album. And even the cover, it's just very, it's with all the weird people from Hollywood and them in like the colorful coats and like on like a rose parade.
Yeah. Basically. Dylan's on the cover.
Yep.
The Stones are on the cover too. The Rolling Stones.
Are they? I'm trying to remember. Yes, they are. Absolutely.
Ali. I mean, there's a, you know, again, they're fucking, when you look at Magical Mystery Tour, then you look at fucking Help. Then you look at, you know, Revolver.
Like, yeah.
I mean, they're just, those covers are just incredible.
And that, yeah, they were insanely good at what they did. And they just kept going and gave it their all up to the very end. I don't know. I mean, after their breakup, what if they went on, let's say, like Rolling Stones? Do you think, because Rolling Stones doesn't put out any new albums.
Well, they did a covers album a couple of years ago, Blues Standards. And they did like Voodoo Lounge in the 90s, the Stones did.
Yeah, but they haven't, I mean.
They're nowhere near like Exile on Main Street. That's what I'm saying. That's what the Beatles have that no other band has too, is that they knew when to open the box and they knew when to close the box.
Right.
And they went, that's it. Here you go.
But they all went on to solo stuff and they all were really successful.
Yeah, even Ringo, the first couple of Ringo solo albums are good.
Correct, but like Paul went on to tons of good bands.
Yeah, well, did solo. You know, he did Ram, the first two, McCartney yes. 1, McCartney 2.
Right.
Then he did Wings.
Yes.
Band on the Run.
Yep.
Then Lennon does Plastic Ono Band, Milk and Honey.
Yep.
You know, fucking Imagine.
Right. And then you have Harrison, who did
All Things Must Pass, Dark Horse,
Cloud Nine,
yeah, Extra Texture,
Traveling Wilburys. They could still make the music. They didn't have to close the box yet.
No, they were like a relationship, right? Like you have like that one real. You had a good run with like a girlfriend, but it's like, you know, it's just it can't always go that way, you know,
right.
with everything. And some people just hack through it, you know, like the Stones, right? They probably wanted to break up numerous times, and I'm sure they did, but they just kept it going. They kept it going because they're a fucking machine, you know what I mean? But the Beatles, I think, on an artistic level, I think they had a lot more integrity and hands-on involved approach with their music and were more disciplined than I think a lot of their peers were.
Right.
The Beatles, I feel, took the extra step to, like, even they would mix their own records. You would get the stereo mixes, which are the production versions, all the mono mixes.
Yeah.
They're four mixes. It's them mixing it. We want it to sound like this.
Right.
So they were very involved. Like, they were to the end. Like, even when you watch the Let It Be, like, documentary, and they're fucking yelling at each other, and John, you know, George quits, and John, you know, is like, well, fuck him. We'll just get fucking Clapton to play guitar. It's like, wow, you could replace George Harrison with Clapton and the Beatles. Like, it would have never worked, you know? But
right.
It's like, when you start interchanging people and you go, wow, one great name for another great name in an already great band, like, it's weird.
What do you think the straw was that broke them up?
I think they just knew they couldn't work together anymore. They all collectively, you can even see it in their faces.
Like they were just done being together.
Yeah, like they kind of couldn't stand each other anymore.
But how does one band get like that? Is it just egos?
Man, that's what I'm saying. Fame? They were the biggest band ever. Like, there, no one could answer that question except them, because no one knows what it's like to be that.
Right.
Like, they're absolutely the top of the fucking, you know, totem pole.
Right.
They're at, yeah, I mean, and there's like a blockade going out over them too, so no one could even get near them to touch them. Like, they're untouchable. I think they were just genuine. Like, there was nothing contrived about them.
Well, you've seen past interviews with them and other things. Like, they were never assholes. They were always... Well,
Lennon was kind of a dick, and even McCartney was, but they're also characters.
Right, yes.
You know, like, they had to be entertaining when they did interviews, because they were like, oh, dude, what are these smart-ass British guys talking about? Like, they're like, oh, yeah, we fucking went through Alabama and, you know, whatever they're going to say. You know, they knew how to play the angle.
Correct.
But they were just, man, fuck, they're young kids having fun.
Correct. Yeah, no, they were.
Like.
And they had all this opportunity. So what do you think their legacy is? Just like some of the best music?
Man, I think that, you know, music's been around forever. Correct. You know, since the fucking beginning of time.
Yes.
Right? I think they're in the same, like, category as, like, a Mozart.
Yeah.
Like, I think they have, because everyone knows,
yeah,
the Beatles have more recognizable songs than that.
Right.
Like, they just, that's something where I hope that, like, the youth of this world, like, the Beatles somehow never goes unappreciated.
I think it's slowly going now.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. I feel like they'll never completely go away. You know, there'll always be that group of people that gets it.
Right.
But it's definitely dwindling. But I just like, sometimes I like talking to people. Like, I work at the store constantly, right? And there's a guy that comes in that's German. And I was listening to the Small Faces one day, which was, you know, hit right when the Beatles did the Steve Marriott. And he's like, oh, I saw the Small Faces in Hamburg in 1962. I saw the Kinks and the Beatles and the Pretty Faces, the Pretty Things. He saw all these bands, and I was like, man, really? And he's like, yeah, I got photos. I'll dig them up sometime. He came up one day with all these photos that he had taken in, you know, 1962, 1960.
Holy shit.
Absolutely incredible. And so I love talking to people, or, you know, at the checkout counter at work too, there's those Beatles articles from the Dallas Morning News when they came.
Yeah.
And there's a few people every now and then that go, oh, my mom went to that. Or, you know, they knew someone who went to that show. I like encountering and talking to people that got to see the Beatles, because they describe the whole scene that happened when you went.
Yeah.
Because it was like you had more people outside trying to get in than you did people inside.
Right.
They're turning more people away than had tickets. So if you went in, you got to the door, you get from the parking lot past the crowd to get to the door to get in. You feel like you've already gone through a, you know, like a fucking gauntlet.
Yeah.
Then you get into the show and it's pandemonium. You can't even hear anything. People are screaming. Girls are passing out, and it's just incredible.
It is weird. I've talked to some people who live in Dallas who went to the Dallas show when the Beatles came through, and they said it was batshit insane, and they only played for like 40 minutes or something like
that. Yeah, I bet they didn't even play that long.
Yeah.
Played for half an hour.
Yeah, because they didn't. It was, again, like early on in the career.
Well, it's a safe, I mean, that's it's a safe, yeah, safety hazard, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a liability thing. You got to contain, I mean, it's just crazy. Like, the infrastructure wasn't there to sustain something of that magnitude.
Yeah, they didn't
have
what they had built today.
Like, they were having to have police escorts, and the police couldn't even contain the crowd. Teenage little girls were manhandling the cops because of these four British dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, think of that power.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's nuts. I mean, they're aliens, I think.
They're aliens. Well, because you mentioned earlier how, like, ICP has, like, a brand. Beatles have, like, a crazy, like,
yeah, the green apple.
Yeah.
Like, the Apple logo.
Yes. But they had, like, they just exuded, like, a different type of feeling than I think most music did.
Well, I think the another thing that also gets constantly, you never hear anybody say this, and it always gets overlooked. But it, even everything down to the spelling of the name.
Yep.
Like the way they spelled the Beatles is just absolutely incredible.
It is. It's so simple, but yet so.
Yeah, it's perfect. Like yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like when you break down, like the hardest, really one of the hardest things in a band, if you're going to like be good, is coming up with a really good fitting name. You know, like you could rattle off fucking, you know, like names like Snake Shart and fucking, you know, like you could just vomit. Nonsense, right? Like yeah. You could just do it all day. But to come up with a name and you go, that's perfect. That's us. We're that. They have that. And they even do. In the spelling, like the spelling of it is just incredible.
It's yeah.
You ever just look at that and go, wow, what a subtle, great fucking
right.
touch.
No, it is. No, I've looked at that and I just like thought like they came up with the Beatles and it's just so genius and so simple. Just it, one, yeah.
it's
literally
so
one
simple.
Letter.
And that's all these songs are. Like even on the first four, like the first four records, those yeah. songs are so simple and they're in the rock and roll formula of 2 minute and 22 second songs. Yeah. They're doing Chuck Berry.
Yeah, they are.
Like it's R&B. It's R&B music.
It's good shit. So common misconception, you've been in the record business for a long time. Common misconception, I would think, is that when people, you know, since vinyl has made a resurgence, that Beatles records are very rare and hard to find and expensive. And that's totally not the case because they're like the biggest selling albums of all time. Everybody had Beatles.
Oh yeah. I tell people like when they'll come in with records and like, yeah, I have some Beatles records in there. I'm like, all right, well, let me guess. You looked them up on the internet, right? Yeah, I saw them on the internet. You know, people get excited.
Yeah.
And I go, well, you do realize that they're the Beatles. And they just kind of look at me like, what's he talking about? I'm like, they didn't make like 20 of these.
Yeah, they made millions.
Yeah, like there's
everybody has them.
Yeah. They're like Frampton Comes Alive, right? You were getting free samples of Calgon with this.
Yeah.
You know, like they were giving it away with purchase of Tide laundry detergent. Like,
yeah.
Everybody had it, you know. You got to have laundry detergent, like toilet paper.
Yeah, you got to have Beatles records.
Yeah.
I mean, there are two some, or three that are very rare.
Yeah, well, it's you know, again, there's so many different versions that people were bootlegging them. Because you got to remember, they didn't have like really, they weren't playing concerts and selling t-shirts.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was all record sales.
Yes.
You weren't going to go fucking download or, you know, you couldn't, unless you stole the record or the 45, you couldn't steal music.
Correct.
And people just
didn't. Yeah, you had to steal a physical entity.
People in 1963 weren't shitheads yet. Like, they weren't even locking the doors
yeah,
on their fucking house.
Yeah, because there wasn't cassette tapes or CDs that you could record.
I'm just saying people weren't stealing. They weren't worried about thieving. They were just going, okay, well, if I can afford it, I'll buy it. And if I can't afford it, I won't buy it. They weren't going, well, I want it. I'll just take it. Swiping it. You know what I mean?
Right. So, like I said, if you have Beatles records, they're probably not worth a whole lot.
There are some that are worth a shit ton. Like, I have a Butcher cover.
So, the Butcher cover, I have the album Yesterday and Today, and there is an alternate cover of the Beatles holding...
That's the alternate cover is them sitting on the chest. The original cover is the babies.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. So the alternate cover is the one you have.
The alternate cover is the one I have. Right. No, the real cover is the one with
the butchered babies. Yeah.
Yeah. All the baby dolls chopped up and
which is just mind blowing to think that they did that.
Yeah. Correct. And so that usually sells for around 300 or more.
Oh, dude.
More.
Well, yeah. Like no. Closer into 1,000.
So, and you have, where would you get your copy?
At a garage sale years and years and years ago.
Awesome.
I didn't even actually know it was in there. It was like an estate sale type thing. And I was driving to work and I saw it and I just saw that there was there's some IKEA shelf looking things out in the front and there were records in it. And I pulled up and, you know, it was a lady, whatever. And I was like, well, what? I thumbed through the records and I was like, oh, cool. Well, what do you take for these? And, you know, she was like $60 and it was probably, you know, 40 records. I was like, okay, cool. Here you go. And I saw that it was a Yesterday and Today in there. And I noticed all the records, the media was in great shape on the ones that I looked at. So I just went, oh, fuck it. They all got to be good. And it wasn't until I got home with it later. And then I really started to look at it I was like, man, you can kind of see the V on an original of Ringo's coat jacket because they're wearing white, like
right, like lab coats.
Yeah, lab coats, yeah. And then they've got black shirts underneath it.
Yeah.
So there's the way Ringo's sitting. There's a V that happens on the bottom corner here. I'll try to find it here and I'll show you. But yeah, I started looking real good. I was looking real good at it. Yeah, here it is, right here. You can see it in the bottom right corner. There's a V where Ringo's sitting.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But it was, yeah, it's like, and it's unpeeled, so it's pretty valuable. But those they didn't make a lot of, but the other Beatles albums, shit ton of them, yeah.
And so, like, why do you think people just think that they're worth money because they have Beatles albums?
Because they saw it on the internet, man.
Did they see on the internet?
Who knows? Donkey Show, fucking Grandma's Bukkake Party. I don't know what people type on. What do you search for on the internet?
All of that.
Yeah.
So
with parentheses around it, so it only searches for those words together.
Correct.
Did you know that?
What?
That you could do that if you put parentheses?
Yes, yeah. I did know that.
I just found that out recently.
Oh, well, your life has changed.
Yeah. Like, I was looking up something about disappearing traffic cone.
Yeah.
And it was just pulling me up like potholes, God. But I was trying to find something
that
else.
Is a gross video. I've seen that too.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Oh my God, that's like the glass bottle disappearing thing.
I know what you're talking. Can we go back to talking about the Beatles?
Yes. You brought it up, motherfucker.
Well, no, you took it to the
to the next level. But no, so you have that. So in the last few years, the Apple Records and the Beatles estates have released like the big mono and stereo sets. What's the difference between them? Do you think they're worth getting, or do you think it's just original?
I have the mono box.
And what
they're those are some of the best sounding records I've ever heard.
Mono or stereo?
I prefer the mono ones. Like, why? Because it's the way they wanted to sound.
Okay.
Because the mono mixes are them mixing the record.
All right.
It's the four of them.
Okay.
The stereo ones are the one. They sound more bombastic, like they're bigger. The stereo ones are.
Yeah.
The mono ones are a lot more focused and they're more personal sounding.
Okay.
Like there's little nuancy things you hear differently. Like there's oohs and ahs that are in different spots. Guitar parts that are more prominent. You know, it's just different mixes.
The mono one is the way to go, you would say.
I think that the mono is like the way to listen to them.
Okay.
Only because it's the way they wanted to sound.
All right. So where do you think the next big thing will be to release their music on, or what?
That's it. Just keep making records, because keep making vinyl, that's the way to listen to them.
No, I agree.
I think they should. I think if you know, Capitol Records was smart, they would reissue them on reel to reel.
But nobody, I mean, people are going to have that reel to reel market's going to
explode. Doesn't matter, though. People would pay a lot of money for those. Oh, yeah
for
dude.
Sure. Because that it looks cool for sure.
Reel to reel is the best way to listen to music.
Well, that's right off the analog
tape. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's, to me, it's, you know, reel to reel, then vinyl. Like, those are the superior.
Do you have a reel to reel?
I've never owned one.
No.
I've always wanted one. I've never owned one.
Okay.
You can always tell a good one by the weight of it. The heavier it is, the better it is.
Yeah.
Like a good one will weigh like 40 pounds.
Yeah.
They're fucking heavy, dude.
No,
like a guac bowl.
Yeah, like a guac bowl. So do you think Beatles have any unreleased tracks ever that are still being waiting to be released?
I hope not. I hope not, and I don't think they do.
Because we would have heard it by now.
Yeah, well, they were such perfectionists.
Yeah.
Like anything that they wouldn't have used, they probably just deleted.
Which is kind of sad, in a way.
You know, disregarded. Not really, because they like, again, they were so in touch and like in step with how the stuff was released and how it was presented.
Yeah,
like their work ethic was just unbelievable. Like I have a bunch of I love reading about them. I have this book just called Beatles Gear.
Yeah,
and it chronologically goes through all the albums and tells you every piece of equipment that was used.
Jesus.
It's cool. Because they would move depending on sounds that they wanted to get. And they were limited with technology. Like, you got to think.
Back in the 60s
and 1963,
yeah.
You're going to make an album that sounds like that. It's like, how are you going to do it? These sounds that you're trying to get out don't exist yet. So when they got into a studio, they were real inventive on, like, you know, when you were reading about Sgt. Pepper and it says they were turning headphones into microphones.
Right.
You know, they were reversing signal flow and plugging things in backwards. You know, yeah. Audio engineers were probably like, what are these guys are breaking our shit.
Yeah.
Like, I can even remember reading stories about when they were recording Sgt. Pepper, because they were in a big studio. There was other rooms in the studio where other people were doing things. And they would bring visitors in to go. They, you know, after hours, the Beatles would leave, and then other people in the studio would be working, and they'd want to peek in there,
yeah,
and just see how the room was. And they would open the door into, like, you know, the studio A, right, that they're tracking something in,
yeah.
And there would be things would be taped off, and they would be so precisely like positioned to get these sounds that they were capturing. Like, most people can describe a sound that they're hearing, but they can't capture it.
Right.
They couldn't reproduce it.
Yeah.
And these guys knew exactly, like, they do it in the blink of an eye. It was natural. Like, they knew how to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're wizards, man. Like, they're the perfect band. I don't think they're the best band ever, because they're not virtuoso, you know, instrumentalists, you know. They could fucking play, but they weren't, like, you know, I think the Allman Brothers are the best band ever. But the Beatles are the perfect band.
The Beatles
if
are.
That, if that makes sense.
No, they are the perfect band. And for the perfect band for the place and time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they couldn't have. I mean, it's crazy to think that if the Beatles would have came out now, even all these albums still even sound current. Like, even when you listen to Please Please Me.
Yeah.
It doesn't really sound dated. You can tell that it's slightly old in recording, but it's so, like, well done. It doesn't seem like it's old. If that makes sense.
No, it's kind of almost timeless in a way.
Yeah, exactly. But if they would have come out now and put out something, it would have, you know, that's not good enough for American Idol.
No.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. Yeah. What do you think is, like, the definitive, like, what song do you think defines the Beatles?
Good God. But there's so many different, like,
I know,
genres.
But that's, if you got to meet someone and they went, I've never even heard the Beatles before, what would you play for them first?
God damn.
It's a good question, right?
Hello, Goodbye, maybe?
Really?
That song's so good, and I think it oozes the Beatles.
Interesting.
And maybe Help.
I think I'd either play them like Paperback Writer.
Paperback Writer.
Because that guitar, when that guitar comes in. I'd play them that or Tomorrow Never Knows.
But both, all great. All four great.
I always wanted to think, like, I don't know, Tomorrow Never Knows would be like a great, like, if I could get shot into outer space, right? Like, and take like a hit of acid and just have that song going the whole time.
Yeah.
Turn on your mind, relax. Right? I mean, those lyrics are fucking great, dude. I think Tomorrow Never Knows is the defining Beatles song.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
Because it does all the tape looping, all those. That's like a backwards violin or something.
Yeah.
It's so.
Oh, I like that.
It's so fucking weird. Like.
But 8 days a week's also really good.
Yeah, 8 days a week is good. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could choose 1,000 songs. What's another fucking really great, like, early Beatles one? I like Day Tripper is cool.
Day Tripper is great.
I really like In My Life that's yes. on Rubber yeah. Soul. That's got a great little harpsichord thing.
No, I love that one. I love, like, oh my God. They're all goddamn good. It's very hard to.
I mean, I think Tomorrow Never Knows, though. I wish we could, like, upload a poll onto the, let people vote, like, what they thought was the best one.
No, yeah. Like, if whoever's listening, please let us know what you think or what the best Beatles song is.
Yeah, we're looking at you, Ringo.
I mean, even, like, stuff like Carry That Weight, you know, from Abbey Road is so fucking good.
Yeah, Why Don't We Do It in the Road?
Why Don't We Do It in the Road? Come Together.
Yeah, but, man, I hate Come Together.
I like Michael Jackson's version better.
Fuck you.
It is good. But, like, Obladi Oblada is a fantastic. No. Obladi is a great song because it kind of goes back to their earlier stuff.
But that wouldn't be the first song you would introduce to a someone that's never heard of before.
Okay. Well, you wouldn't do that for Why Don't We Do It in the Road?
I'd pick it way before fucking Octopus's Garden. I mean, gee, or what about "While My Guitar Gently Weeps"? That's the
a fucking Harrison song.
Yeah,
that's
with Clapton.
Yeah, that is good shit. But also, like, "It Won't Be Long" is a great Beatles song. It won't be long, yeah.
I really like "Mr. Moonlight."
I think just you can put on 5 Beatles albums in a row and you won't get tired. It's just like it's that good.
And it'll be over in like 2 hours.
Yeah, because most of their songs were literally 1 minute and 40 seconds to like 2 minutes and 3 seconds.
Yeah, I don't think
they're
really,
like 30, 40 minute long each.
Couldn't be over 2.5 minutes or they wouldn't play it on the radio.
Correct. But yeah,
And they had the coolest gear. Like when you see them.
Yes.
You know, like
the
Paul,
bass guitar.
Yeah, Paul's left handed and he's playing the bass violin, right? The Hofner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that was the first time a lot of people saw a 12-string, you know, guitar. Harrison's playing that Rickenbacker.
Yep.
You know, and then Lennon's playing those cool hollow body. Ringo's playing that really cool, you know, like Ludwig kit.
But yeah.
Like they just looked so fucking cool.
They did.
And they had the right, like their equipment was awesome. And
they were badass.
They were perfect. They're playing Gretsch guitars and fucking, you know, Rickenbackers and stuff. Like they were so.
They knew what they were doing.
Oh, they were perfect, man.
What do you think about the song "Benefit from Mr. Kite"?
I love that song.
It's so wacky.
Yeah. Well, that whole album's fucking wacky. Sgt. Pepper is
and
just
of course,
crazy.
The horse dances the wolf. It's just.
Well, I love, man. Like "When I'm 64" is
that's
awesome
a great
song.
That's got a good clarinet to it.
And, you know, even the subtle, like when people are like "Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds" is LSD. Like they did it, the abbreviation. They did, whether they did it on purpose or not, the Paul is dead. You know, Paul, when they, people thought Paul died.
Yes.
And they ran with it.
Correct.
You know, it's like there was that mystique that they had that was just, I don't know, man, it'll never, ever happen again.
We don't want it to, really.
No, we couldn't. It just, there's no possible way that anything can ever be that great again. Like, I'm serious.
You really just said that now, and it really made me sad because that's true.
Well, it's not sad though because it's who could possibly even come close to doing that.
Well, you would like to think like, oh, maybe there's something out there, but like you know, it's never going to happen.
It can't. It's impossible.
It is.
Like, and I love the Kinks. Like, I'm a huge Kinks fan. I love the Stones, but the Beatles just pass. I mean, they're above them, but the Kinks are a lot more rock and roll than the Beatles were.
Correct.
Same with the Stones.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking at it like kind of not objectively, but I'm looking at it as like which band is perfect.
Right.
They never had a misstep. The Beatles never took a misstep.
They were
like
there
Yellow
for
Submarine
10 years
is as close as they got to going off the rail.
But still good. Like you said, it's maybe
fun.
Their worst album, but it's still better than 89% of the bands out there.
Yeah.
Their best albums.
Absolutely, man. Like, just, they were so good.
Well, we have cranked it up to 11 on the Unbalanced Note. The Beatles. We've
the
talked
Beatles.
About them. We are the Unbalanced Note. Brian Kluger and Jacob Douglas. Anybody who's listening, please let us know what other bands we could talk about. What one hit wonders you want to listen to. What Beatles songs are your favorite? Did we miss any? And who is your favorite Beatle? Please let us know.
Yeah, let us know your favorite Beatle. I'm curious. It seems the general consensus now, even like remember when the Beatles got put on iTunes?
Yes, and that was a big thing.
The most downloaded song was a Harrison song.
Correct. I like that.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, I was like, huh, that's kind of surprising.
It's good shit. But yes, we are the Unbalanced Note on the Multimedia Men Podcast Network. Again, thanks to Jacob Douglas. You can find him on Instagram at Scrumchalescence. And I'm Brian Kluger at Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest. Please subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We'll be back next week with episode 12 and be listening to those Beatles.